St. Denica's Day. How many of you wore green? Good. And did you see mine? There. My family didn't let us wear green. We always had to wear orange, so I came prepared. What's the difference? Do you know? Anything to fight about, right? Well, we wanted to look at St. Patrick because the world celebrates St. Patrick's Day, right? And there he is. What's he holding in his hands? A shamrock. And his left hand? A staff with a knife on the end, yeah. There's different staffs that are depicted. Of course, this is an artist's interpretation. And he probably most definitely didn't wear green. Why the color green? No, the color of Ireland, the Emerald Isle. And so he became the patron saint of Ireland, and so now people only remember Ireland and they forgot St. Patrick and what he's done. But he was actually a very great man, and we want to talk about him today. But there are many celebrations of St. Patrick's Day all around going on in different places. Some did it last week, but can you see where this is? Anybody recognize the city? I believe it's Chicago. Look how people are dressed. Can you see the hats? What do they look like? Leprechauns. Okay, now leprechauns are St. Patrick's Day, right? And these gals with the beautiful beards, brown, reddish brown beards, and so people are just having lots of fun. What's that? And even there's a pig. Or is it a donkey? It's a donkey, you're right. It's a donkey. Okay, good. And the other thing is a leprechaun, I think. And I don't know what these people are. They're just green. But it's a day when people say, "Kiss me." Today, at least, I'm Irish. People do this all over the world. And of course, you have to have this, right? Green something, probably. Oh, green beer. It's got a head on it, yeah. And a leprechaun. So this has become what a lot of people associate with St. Patrick's Day, parades and fun. And some people, what did Kelly tell me, that people are already at the bar. Is that right? Oh, okay. Trying to get smashed. One of the legends, there's so many legends associated with St. Patrick, it's hard to know what the truth is, but what was one of the legends? He chased the snakes out of Ireland. Now, it's true, there are no snakes in Ireland, but there weren't any before he got there either. So he didn't chase it out. And some people say, well, that's symbolic for getting rid of paganism and the influence of the serpent. But there's so many legends about St. Patrick, and one of the problems is St. Patrick wasn't Irish, was he? He was a Briton born in the area now called Scotland, so if anything, he's Scottish, Scottish Briton. And he was enslaved by Irish pirates and taken and sold, kidnapped and then sold as a slave, and he became a shepherd by force in the hills of Northern Ireland. And then later, he became Jesus' missionary back to Ireland. And his name wasn't even Patrick. His name was Maywin Succut. I might be mispronouncing it. Maywin Succat, maybe. I don't know. Succat. We'll say it's Succat. Yeah. So his story, he grew up in a Christian family, but he wasn't a Christian. His grandfather was a priest, and his father was a deacon and a city magistrate, but he was a teenage boy, and he didn't have the faith of his parents. That's what they believed. That's not what he believed. He enjoyed having fun. He wasn't a believer. But after he was taken captive, he prayed a lot. And he said, I prayed 100 times a day and almost that many times at night. And then God got a hold of him. So let me read something. He later wrote two small literary pieces. One was a denouncement of a British pirate and telling them to let the people go that he had kidnapped. And the other is what he calls his confession. So I'm going to read something from his confession. I bought the book as a Kindle book, so it cost me 99 cents. So I'm reading it now, but I'm going to read two paragraphs. Patrick, a sinner, a most simple country person, the least of all the faithful and most contemptible to many, had for father the deacon Calpurnius and son of the late Potitus, a priest of the settlement of Banavan, a village of Tabernia. He had a small villa nearby where I was taken captive. I was at that time about 16 years old. I did not indeed know the true God, and I was taken into captivity in Ireland with many thousands of people, as we justly deserved, because we had turned away from God. We did not keep his precepts, nor did we were we obedient to our priests, who used to remind us of our salvation. And the Lord brought down on us the anger of his fury, and scattered us among many nations, even to the ends of the earth, where I, in my smallness, am now to be found among foreigners. And there the Lord opened my mind to an awareness of my unbelief, in order that even so late, at 16, I might remember my transgressions and turn with all my heart to the Lord my God, who had regard for my insignificance and pitied my youth and ignorance. And he watched over me before I knew him, and before I learned sense or even distinguish between good and evil. And he protected me and consoled me as a father would his son. Therefore, indeed, I cannot keep silent, nor would it be proper, for so many favors and graces the Lord has deigned to bestow on me in the land of my captivity. For after chastisement from God and recognizing him, our way to repay him is to exalt him and confess his wonders before every nation under heaven. There is no other God, nor ever was before, nor shall be hereafter. So here's his theology. But God the Father, without beginning, from whom is all beginning, who upholds all things as we have been taught, and his Son, Jesus Christ, who manifestly always existed together with the Father before the beginning of time in the Spirit with the Father, indescribably begotten before all things, and all things visible and invisible were made by him. The Son was made man, conquered death, and was received into heaven to the Father, who gave him all power over every name in heaven and on earth and in hell, so that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and God, in whom we believe, and we look to his imminent coming again, the judge of the living and the dead, who will render to each according to his deeds. And he poured out his Holy Spirit on us in abundance, the gift and pledge of immortality, which makes the believers and the obedient into sons of God and co-heirs with Christ, who is revealed, and we worship one God in the Trinity of sacred name. For he himself said through the prophet, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And again, it is right to reveal the works of God. So, he became a believer. In fact, he became he prayed and he was a changed person The other slaves began to call him holy boy, holy child, some to make fun and others out of reverence. But he became very well known for that. And he learned to listen to the Spirit. And one time he had a dream, and the dream said, it's good for you to, he was fasting that day, it's good for you to fast, you shall soon be returned to your land. And he went back to sleep, and then he dreamed again the same night, the ship, here's your ship taking you home. And so he got up that night and left, and it was only 200 miles to the shore. And he felt that God had guided him, and he said, I felt no apprehension. A runaway slave, if they were caught, they would be killed, and the Druids had a way of, well, burning people alive. They were pretty violent people. And so, but he said, I had no apprehension at all. And he got right to the ship, and he said, can I come on the ship? And the man looked at him and said, no, go away. He turned around and he fervently prayed. And then the same man said, come, come. The others want you. Come. And so they invited him on the ship. And he said, I thought that God wanted me to witness to them. And so that's what he did. These men went back and they went to part of England. And they were inland, and they spent many days inland, and they were there for 28 days, and they were running out of food. And one of the men said, I think the chief of the group said, you're religious, pray to your God, we're going to die here if we don't get food. And he said, I will pray, and this is a good time to convert and believe in him. And when they turned around, there was a herd of pigs, which they captured and slaughtered, and were very much impressed with his faith and his God. So he returned home. It took actually 2 years for him to get home finally. He was 16 when he left. He was 6 years as a slave. So how old is he? And two more years? He's 24. And he studied to become a deacon, which took about 6 years. He was actually not very good in school. He said, I never studied as a child, and now he's older and he wasn't very good. He was always embarrassed. And in his confession, he confesses that he's not very good. And the people say his Latin is very rustic that he wrote his confession in. I'll take their word for that. But he said he became a deacon, and then he studied longer to become a priest. And then about that time, he's now about 40 years old, and about that time, and he'd been serving in a church, he had another dream. And this dream, a man from Ireland comes by the name of Victoricus, and Victoricus has a basket full of letters. And he says, this is the voice of the people of Ireland. And first he said, come live among us again and walk among us, holy boy. And then he brings this basket and he's reading the letters, and the letters are from the people of Ireland. And he said, I couldn't read any more letters. It broke my heart. And he said, God was calling me. In fact, the people of Ireland were calling me to them, much like Paul's Macedonian vision. Come and help us. And so he felt called to do that. Yet his family and the church was dead set against that. No, we don't go to the Irish. The Irish are pagan. The main means of sharing the gospel at that point was following the Roman colonization. And so what Rome conquered, they shared Christ with, because now they were civilized. And so the evangelism followed the cultural road opened by the Roman Empire. But Ireland was way beyond the Roman Empire. They were a distant island, and the Romans didn't go there. And now the Romans had pulled back. This is now After the fall of Rome, Rome fell in 410 AD. This is now after that, and probably 10 or 15 years after that. And so there's not many Roman protection there, even on Britain. That's why the Irish were able to raid them so much, and that's how he was taken prisoner originally. But they said, no, we don't go to them people. Those people are crazy. And they were known for very aggressive and violent behavior. They would fight in the nude, and they would paint themselves blue, this kind of thing. They worshipped many many gods, especially nature gods. They would they would have human sacrifices. They would sacrifice to the god of war any captives of war, and they would sacrifice to the god of harvest children. And they loved cutting off heads and displaying heads. They thought the soul is in the head, and actually there are people today who think that too. And so they had heads for jewelry, and they even made little emblems looking like heads. So they said, you can't go to these people. They are not even human. You don't want to go to them. But he lived among them. He spoke the language, and he believed God was calling him back. And one time, he said this. And so he's praying, because everyone's telling him, no, 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 this isn't the will of God. God doesn't want you to do this. You're wrong. Don't do this. And he said, I was praying, and then he said, I saw something. I saw him praying within me. And so it was inside my own body, and I heard him above me, that is, above my inner self. He was praying powerfully with sighs. And in this course of it, I was astonished and wondering, and I pondered, who is it that's praying inside of me? Someone inside of me is praying. Who is it? But at the end of the prayer, it was revealed to me that it was the Spirit. And so I awoke, and I remembered the apostles' words, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how we ought to pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And again, the Lord, our advocate, intercedes for us. He recalled that he awoke to someone praying, but he didn't know which. And he said it was in an elegant language he couldn't understand except for the last line, which said, he who gave his life for you, he it is who speaks within you. And thus I awoke joyful. And so now he was confirmed in his belief that God was sending him back. And he went back to Ireland as he was made a bishop, not quite the same as today, but he was an elder and he was a leader of the church. He had a team with him of about 12 people probably. And they went, and because he knew the local customs, he knew there wasn't one large kingdom. There were many, many little tribes, and each tribe had a king or a chief. Some were only hundreds of people, and some were thousands of people. And the chief had advisors, and the advisors were the Druids. And he would go to the chiefs, and he would talk to them and say, this is what we want to do. And often the chief let them do it. And so they would set up there, sometimes preach right to the chief and their family, and sometimes the chief said, well, I'm not interested, but you can talk to the people. And they got many audiences that way, and they set up churches in these tribes. And much like what Paul did, they would spend months there, and then when they would move on, they would leave one of their team with this fledgling church to help them get started. And if any locals were willing, they would take them, who are now believers, and go to the next tribe. And so he did this and was very, very effective. He wasn't the first bishop. He was the second bishop to go there. The first bishop went there, had a similar name, and so people think some of their stories were put together. His name was Palladius. But Palladius didn't go to the Irish. He went to the British people that were there, or the Irish who had already received Christ and were following the British way, and he just went to the British churches. He didn't go and evangelize the lost Celts. And so Patrick spent his whole life there. He realized that, and many people said, this was just like Joseph. He went there a slave, and yet that slavery, although it was a terrible thing, God used it for good. Genesis 50, this is what Joseph says to his brothers. They're now afraid because their father had died, and they said, now Joseph will take his vengeance out on me. And Joseph is heartbroken. He said, I'm not going to take my vengeance out on you. Don't you know that you intended me harm? But God used this to he intended good. And look what's happening, what's being done. Many lives are being saved. And so Patrick said, God sent me there. He chastised me for my unbelief. He brought me to faith. Now he's sending me back to be a missionary, to save these lives, these many, many people. And so he saw the people of Ireland as his sheep. And so the lost slave who was forced to be a shepherd of sheep now returns willingly to be a shepherd of slaves and lost people. And he said, I'm a slave of Christ. And his family would send him word and tell him to come back, and people would tell him to go back. You spend enough time there, because he was already in his 40s when he went there. And a lot of people didn't live too long after their 40s in those days. But he spent 28 to 30 years, and he died. What day do you think he died on? March 17th. Many times people didn't know their birthdays until because they didn't know they were going to be famous. But they remember the days that they were either martyred or died. He died of old age, he was probably in his 70s. We don't really know exactly when he was born. They think he died in 461 on March 17th. But he was a great evangelist, a great missionary. They think 120,000 people came to faith that he baptized in those 30 years. Started 300 churches, and the number of schools is a little bit, I think I read somewhere 400. Like, how can you have more schools than churches? Well, they taught boys and girls separately. And that was another reason they said, you can't teach the Irish because they're illiterate. They can't read. Well, they taught them how to read. Now, we don't know if this is a legend or not, if he actually used a shamrock to teach about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, because there's a problem with that, right? Because that can look like tritheism, like there's three gods or three parts of God, and yet if you see the little triangle in the center there, it's saying the Father is God, the Spirit is God, the Son is God, and yet, you know, you can't take away one part and have there be God. No, and those little leaves or flowers, whatever they are, did they grow one leaf and then the next and the next? No, they grow three. They just grow together. That's their very nature. They're together. So it's very possible that he used this. The Celtic people loved nature. They believed their gods were spirits living in nature, and he said no. No, the God that you should worship created all of nature, but he's here with us. He's here with his Spirit. And so he is close. He's not just a God far away. He is here. But that tree is his creation. That shamrock is his creation. The river is his creation. The mountain is creation. The sun is his creation. The moon is his creation. Yes, God provided these things for your life, and he's here. But he is not these things. He is the creator. Can you read that, or is that too small? This, we don't know if he really wrote this. This is not in his confession. This is recorded elsewhere. But it might have been a prayer that he had, a prayer of putting on armor every day. Because when he was first there, he was constantly being attacked. And he was captured many times, and he said every day, I don't know if I'm going to die. I don't know if I'll be killed today. But he says it doesn't matter. And so every day he got up And so this may have been something that he prayed, something like this. And the breastplate means his protection, his spiritual protection from God. I arise today, God's strength guiding me, God's might sustaining me, God's wisdom directing me, God's eye looking before me, God's ear listening to me, God's word speaking for me, God's hand protecting me, the way of God stretching out before me, the host of God, meaning the angels, guarding me against the snares of the demons, against the temptings of my evil desires, against the evil inclination of my will, against everyone who plots against me, a near or afar, alone or in a multitude. Christ defend me today against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, until there comes to me the full reward of my labor. This is a famous one. You see this written down, this section. Christ with me, Christ before me. Can you read that? Let's say it together. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ after me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks to me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I like that. I rise up today through a mighty strength, through my invocation of the Trinity, through my belief in its threeness, through my avowal of its oneness to the only Creator, and then Latin. Domine est salus, Domine est salus, Christi est salus, salus tua Domini sit semper nobiscum. Amen. Do you know what it says, Sam? The Lord is my salvation, the Lord is my salvation, Christ is my salvation, salvation, your salvation, Lord, is always with us. Amen. Now, the verse that Jim read earlier, let's read this together. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so Patrick was a good shepherd. He sought to follow the example of Christ. And Christ said, I am the good shepherd. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so that's what Patrick did. Now, he didn't die a martyr. He thought he would every day. Instead, he served for 30 years and built up a mighty church in the 5th century in Ireland. And he wasn't actually a Catholic because the Catholic Church didn't exist in the same way as it does today. But he was a Latin, belonging to the Latin church, and a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the example of this great missionary, this great evangelist, this man of God, Patrick, and truly one of your saints, and a great example for many people. Help us all, Lord, to be knowing you, following you, listening to your spirit, following your word, and sharing your message with other people that they can become your children. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.